pressure. Socrates poisoned again after 25 centuries. Responses to questions from disciples and press correspondents. Given in Crete, Greece. Discourse number 3.
Here we are again, in the feet of the master, and breathing again like the old time. But one man, the kind of a paradise you found again, how do you manage to find these beautiful places over and over again?
It is a difficult question, because I never try to find out any place. It is not a question of managing. This has been my experience, that if inside you are in paradise, the outside synchronizes with it automatically. If you try to manage, you will simply mismanage. If you try to find paradise, you are not going to get it.
The other speech is not one that is men alive and dying, people who are serious and know but one.
I am not a god. Neither the first one was a god. God is simply a fiction. But godliness can be experienced anywhere, in any part of the world. And this is one earth. This island is not separate.
Well, this island, that one, you might know, the hippie movement started years ago. Then you had the flower power, then you had the Beatles. Look, the world needs you like a Mick Jagger.
No. Because what I'm talking about is not a fashion that comes and goes. It is something that belongs to the eternal. Socrates was doing it, Gautam Buddha was doing it, Chuang Tzu was doing it. As far back as you can look, you will find people working for the same idea of enlightenment. And this will continue till every man on the earth becomes enlightened. So it is not a fashion that comes and goes like Beatles and others.
You said once that the shall come from the well, but now the well is coming to the facility, you are making it through ground to go very soon.
Very soon.
But it's just the other day.
I never plan for the future. But I have so many friends in Holland that I cannot avoid visiting it long enough.
Remember our interview, Albert, last year, Bhagwan? is in a very high rating, only shown when disaster films are seen on television. Are you a kind of a disaster?
I am. I am a disaster to all the traditions, to all the religions, to all the political ideologies, to all the national boundaries, to everything that belongs to the past. I want men to discontinue completely from the past. The past has been insane. So I am a disaster for all those who have wasted interest in the past.
I think you don't change the magazines now for a second, Papa. Because as you know, we are very old fashioned. We're still moving film and not video. But this only takes seconds. And we know that you are very experienced in giving the pleasure.
Okay. This is good.
Your last words in our TV interview in August, Bhagwan, were, "The truth is right. In fact, you were arrested, you were left, you were closed down, all their old roses and so, and you traveled the world without finding peace." What kind of truth were you talking about?
Whenever the truth is right, it falls down. Taken those fruits, and I have been going around the world distributing them. I am not going around the world in search of peace. Peace I have got. I am going around the world to give to those who need it.
But what are your future plans?
No.
You don't have future plans?
No.
Isn't it easy not to have future plans? I mean, every single person in the world worries about tomorrow. You don't, because you're being taken care of.
I was not worrying even when I was not being taken care of. It has not been always so. I left my family when I was 17, and because I was not ready to go to a science college as my family wanted, and they were not willing to support me financially to study philosophy. And they were right, because what you are going to do when you become a philosopher, you can only be a beggar. In this world, philosophy has no value. So I told them, "You don't worry, you just leave me alone. And I don't think of the tomorrow." And since that day, I have never thought about the tomorrow.
You don't have to pay rent tomorrow?
No.
You don't have to pay alimony tomorrow?
Nothing.
You don't have to buy a car tomorrow?
Nothing.
Well, that's easy enough to worry then.
It is easy. but somehow existence manages it.
One of the two questions, I was not allowed to ask, but you didn't want them. Why is that that you are not prepared to answer any questions?
Because they belong to the past, which is finished.
You don't want to talk about
yes, just only the present, which is the only reality.
We already found out that that's what we need. Anyway, is there a question I haven't asked you and you always want to talk?
No.
It's like all the questions already have been answered, but you have already given all the answers.
No, that is not the thing. The thing is, I don't have any questions. Neither I have any answers. I'm just a mirror. You ask the question, my consciousness reflects the answer. It is spontaneous. If you don't have any question to ask, then my mirror remains empty. There is no response. I cannot answer. I don't have any answers to give to you. You have to create a question, a situation in which my being can respond as an answer. But left alone in my room, I don't have a question, I don't have an answer. I'm simply silent.
You will see each other back in Holland. I hope it won't mean by my personal presence. It is a sign from our station.
Is that?
Good.
I don't know how to wear it for you, but anyway, it's a beautiful sign.
I will try.
Thank you very much.
Either in America or in other parts of the world. I have made one commune and you have seen the beauty of it. You have seen the joy of it. Now it is up to you. If you want commune, you can create this. I have given you the model. The American fascist government may have destroyed the model, but it cannot distrust the remembrance of those beautiful moments in you. You can create American sannyasins can create communes in America. I'm finding it easier more economical, more helpful to you, that rather you come into me, I will be coming to you. I have not seen many faces of you for 5 years. And I have a sadness about it. And the reason was you were not able to arrange enough money to come to America and be in America. We have communes all over the world. They will go on increasing. My approach will be now to be just a guest of one commune for a few days or a few months, then move on to another commune. So you need not be worried about making arrangements to see me. Now I will be constantly traveling. It was Prophet Muhammad who has said that the thirsty has to come to the well. But 14 centuries have passed and the whole technology has changed. Now you have running water, cold and hot in every house. The thirsty need not go to the well. The well comes to the thirsty in his very bedroom. So I want to change the proverb. From now onward, the well is going to the thirsty. It is easier. And now there are so many sannyasins around the world. They cannot gather together to meet me. Millions of people. The only easier way will be that I could move and go to all those millions of people. This will bring me more intimacy, more closeness. When you used to come to me, there were sometimes 20,000 people. You were sitting so far away, I could not even see your face. I could not recognize. And you had come from so far away. My new approach will be more intimate. I can look into your eyes I can hold your sin. I can sit amongst you. I can eat with you. I can participate in every possible way. I am not a messiah. I am not a prophet, because I am not a hypocrite. I am an ordinary human being who has come to realize himself. The difference between me and you is very little. The difference of a person awake and of a person who is asleep, there is not much of a difference. One who is asleep can be awake any moment, can be awakened any moment. My work is individual. I do not believe in the society. I do not believe in organizations. I only believe in the individual, because he is the only reality. All are only words. Neither the organization has its soul, nor the society has its soul. They are just words, utilitarian, but empty. Only the individual is the living reality. So I will be coming to your communes, a small communes, big communes, a small centers. To be more deeply in contact with you. Whatever I have been saying to you, I want you to experience it also. I was again and again inquired that in the big festivals only a certain group of people was sitting in the front, always, and the others were sitting always far away back. They could not see me. They could not feel me. They wanted that it should be rotatory, that people should be changing every day, new people should be sitting in front. I had absolute sympathy with their idea. But there was a trouble, and the trouble was that I can speak to you only when I feel deep intimacy. If I feel somebody is close, suddenly I start losing my words. When I see that somebody is receptive, my words start having wings. They turn into poetry. They start expressing the inexpressible. So only those two people were allowed constantly to sit in front of me, so that I cannot be prevented by people who are close, new. But moving from commune to commune, a small center to another small center, there will be very few people. And I will be staying there not one day or two days, I will be staying there as much as you need. Unless I have turned you all receptive, vulnerable, open. Unless my presence has become a meditation to you, I'm not going to leave you. Nobody has ever done such an effort on a worldwide scale. There are going to be troubles. But each trouble is a beautiful challenge and a great opportunity. It all depends whether you know the art of changing the worst into the best. For example, Germany has made a law that I cannot enter Germany. This is a very strange, unprecedented situation. I have never been in Germany. I have done no harm to Germany. They have nothing against me. I have not even applied for a tourist visa. But just to be on the safer side, they have already made a law that I cannot enter Germany. This is a beautiful situation. I will use it for two things. I will move around Germany. I cannot enter Germany, but my sannyasins can come out of Germany. And I will tell my sannyasins that go and fight the government, sue the government, be peaceful, but go to the court. It is absolutely illegal what they have done. They have no reason at all. So create an upheaval in the whole country, and I will be moving around the country. So the government must be sued from every commune, from every center. There could be hundreds of cases against the government in all the courts of Germany, and let them face it. And I was really surprised. I have never thought that German politicians would be so cowardly. And these are the descendants of the people who created two world wars. These are the descendants of Adolf Hitler. And it seems they don't have any backbone. such cowardliness. From a man who is for peace, for non-violence, against war, against nuclear weapons, whose whole message is peace and love, whose whole effort is to bring man into a blissful flowering, what harm he can do to you? But the politicians are afraid not only of Germany, of the whole world. The same happened in America, the same happened in India, the same happened in Nepal, and perhaps it is going to happen in every country I am going to visit. What is their fear? Their fear is they have promised people and they have not delivered a single thing. They have been deceiving people continuously and people are becoming more and more miserable. And if somebody comes and can make few people blissful, silent, happy, that makes them afraid. Then other people sooner or later are going to ask them. Then misery is not natural. Suffering is not natural. Anguish is not natural. Because we have seen people who were miserable and who have dropped misery. It seems the politicians and the religious heads are in conspiracy in keeping people miserable. Because only miserable people can be enslaved. Only miserable people can be prevented from becoming rebellious. This is their fear. But they don't understand me. They cannot prevent me from approaching my people, wherever they are. Either my people will be coming out of the country to meet me, or they will be fighting inside the country that why I have been prevented. I am going to create a world upheaval to show to the politicians that a single man without arms can be more dangerous than all your nuclear weapons, all your armies. And that's what happened in America. The greatest power in the history of man became so afraid of an innocent man who has not done anything wrong against law. That they somehow wanted me to throw out of America. Any excuse, legal or illegal, And whatever they did was all illegal. They arrested me without any arrest warrant. They did not show me any cause why they are arresting me. They had none. They did not allow me to call my attorneys because they were afraid, because the attorneys will ask the first thing, where is the arrest warrant? They would not allow me to phone to my attorneys, which is a human right. Three days in court, they could not prove anything against me. Even the attorney of the government, Supreme Court, had to accept before the court that we have not been able to prove anything. Still, he would like the magistrate not to bail him out. Now, a strange thing, you have not been able to prove anything against me, and still you are asking the court that bail should not be given to me. Then you can arrest anybody, and you can ask that bail should not be given. Now there is no question of proving that somebody is guilty or not. And because it is government against a single individual, the government pressurized the magistrate. My own jailer told me back, going to the jail, that it was absolutely unjust, unfair. I have never seen such a situation, that you cannot prove anything against a man and you ask that no bail should be given. For what reason? And the bail was not given, and the jailer told me the reason is that the woman magistrate is waiting for a promotion of becoming a federal judge, and she has been threatened that if she gives bail to me, she can forget all about ever becoming a federal judge. And these governments think they are democratic. And their whole working is fascist. But it has been a good experience to me. And now, I may be moving around the world, reaching my people wherever they are, and I am ready to suffer anything for it, even if I am jailed. I have tasted the American jail. second sunbathing. It was a good experience. They made it as worth as possible. But they could not dispel me. Those 12 days were of immense beauty, because I remained completely in 24 hours in such blissfulness. They would not let me sleep. They would not let me eat what I wanted. But it was good. I lost weight. My doctor was trying hard. So he was happy that it was good. So whenever I want to lose weight, I can enter America. For 5 years, they have prevented me entering into America. But for weight loss, I can always enter. And I enjoyed seeing the double faces of people, their public faces and their private realities. The same person outside the jail taking me to the court is nice, human, gentleman, and the same person inside the jail suddenly becomes inhuman, primitive. I sign American jails because in 12 days they had to chain me in 5 jails. You will be surprised why. They could have kept me in one jail. 12 days are not a long period. But the problem was the inmates of the jail were so friendly and loving towards me. They were all seeing on the television. And they were all bringing small gifts, whatever they could, an apple, a banana, a glass of milk, which was given to them. They said, it doesn't matter. They are not giving you milk, they are not giving you vegetarian food, they are not giving you fruits. They are saying that we don't have any arrangement for vegetarians. And they have all these things. They are giving them to us. But we can give them to you. Seeing that the inmates become influenced, and all the inmates who are black, that was also a discovery. In 5 jails, not a single white man was imprisoned. It can only mean one thing. Either white men don't commit crimes, only black people commit crimes. I inquired the inmates that why only black people are inside the jail. They said, we don't know. They have never told us. We have been arrested without any arrest warrant. They don't allow to see our attorneys. Somebody was there in the jail for 6 months. Somebody was there for 9 months, just waiting to go to the court, to say to the court that he has not done anything and he has been unnecessarily forced into jail. He has been already punished without being proved guilty. And all these blacks were young people. And I could see the reason. These black young people will prove sooner or later a danger to America. They have enslaved their parents or their forefathers, and they are carrying the resentment. And now they are in majority in many states. They are going to fight sooner or later that they want a separate country or a separate state, and they don't want to live with the white people. So all the young people who were suspected to be rebellious were forced into jail without any reason, without any cause. They have not done anything, it is just your suspicion that something they may do. Seeing the American jail and its scene, I'm now ready to see any country's jail. In fact, it will be an enrichment. I am not going to break any country's law. If the country has made a law that I cannot enter, I will not enter. But I can go around the country, call my people out, and tell my people to fight the government to change the law. Only then I will enter the country. My movement around the world will give you a feeling of a world commune. Up to now you were a small commune here and there. And because I was staying at one place, you felt that you missed me, that a certain commune was fortunate to have me. Now that will not be the case. I belong to you all, and I will be moving everywhere, wherever there is need. I want sannyas to become a worldwide phenomenon. It is already ready to explode. And it has the greatest potential right now. There is no other alternative. So you are in a certain great position of power. We can make this whole world thrilled with a new vision, with a new dream, with a new hope. The old man has lost all hope, has lost all dreams, has lost all possibilities of growth, evolution. Sannyas can bring the hope back. You are the hope of the world.
Mm-hmm. You need to find yourself as the rich man said. Some young people you should see are rich particularly the spirit. Or are you the good because they have money?
The first thing to be understood I have not defined myself as the rich man's guru. It is the yellow journalism which dominates the mind of the masses around the world, which came up with the definition. I simply accepted it with my own meaning. They were trying it as derogatory. But my meaning is totally different. A Vincent van Gogh is far more richer than Henry Ford. Richness does not mean only wealth or money. Richness is a multidimensional phenomenon. A poet may be poor, but he has a sensitivity that no money can purchase. He is richer than any rich man. A musician may not be rich, but as far as his music is concerned, no wealth is wealthier than his music. To me, the rich man is one who has sensitivity, creativity, receptivity. The man of wealth is only one of the dimensions. According to me, the man of wealth is also a creative artist. He creates wealth. Everybody cannot be Henry Ford. His talents should be respected. Although what he creates is mundane, it cannot be compared to Mozart's music or Nijinsky's dance or Jean-Paul Sartre's philosophy. But still he creates something which is valuable, utilitarian, and the world will be better if there were many more Henry Fords. So when I accepted the definition, my meaning was the richness in any dimension. Only a rich being can have some connection with me. A certain sensitivity is absolutely needed. A certain vision is needed. A poor man is one whose mind is retarded. He may have immense wealth, that does not matter. A poor man is one who cannot understand classical music, who cannot understand poetry, who cannot understand philosophy, who cannot understand the higher flights of human spirit. Yes, one of the dimensions of poverty is a man who cannot even produce money. He is the poorest of the poor. Because money is such a mundane thing. If you cannot create it, you simply show that you don't have intelligence enough. The poor people of the world are responsible for their poverty. Who is telling them to go on producing children? And each child makes them more poor. Who is telling them to go on living superstitiously, and each superstition hinders their growth towards wealth? Who is telling them that they should believe that they are poor because in their past life they have been doing evil acts? And why they should accept all this nonsense? Why they should not listen to intelligence that a poor man should not produce children, he should produce wealth. But he produces children, he does not produce wealth. It is a strange phenomenon that the wealthier countries are losing population and the poorer countries are increasing so fast that there is a danger for the whole world. Right now there are 5 billion people. It was thought just 5 years before that by the end of the century there will be 5 billion people. The estimates of the economists and the mathematicians is far behind than people's productivity. We are already 5 billion. By the end of the century, we will be 6 billion. And if you say to these people to use birth control, to use the pill, you don't need children, they don't listen to you. You are against their religion. You are against their tradition. Now, how I can have a contact with these people? Even on mundane affairs, there is no possibility of communication. So when I said that I accept the definition, my meaning was clear. Anybody who has a richness of mind, of being, is only capable of understanding something about meditation, something about the flight of the ultimate of the universal. People who are hungry, starving, do you think if you go to Ethiopia and start teaching meditation, people are going to listen to you? They will kill you. They will rather eat you rather than listen to your meditative techniques. There are certain basic necessities which should be fulfilled. There is a hierarchy. First, your bodily needs should be fulfilled. Then your psychological needs should be fulfilled. Only then, for the first time, you become hungry for spiritual experiences. Now, what can I do about it? That is the nature of things. If water evaporates at 100-degree heat, what can I do? I cannot persuade it to evaporate on 99 degrees. It is the nature of things. And this is the hierarchy: bodily needs first, then psychological need second, and only then spiritual need. What I can give to you is your hunger for spiritual growth. If it is not there, I cannot create it. If it is there, I can show you the path. And you can see it. I have not been searching and going to the rich people. Those who have come to me have come on their own. Their thirst has brought them to me. I have not been going after people, persuading them like Christian missionaries that become a Christian, promising them all kinds of goods in the future life. When I was a professor, one day a woman stopped my car and gave me a pamphlet with a beautiful house on the front page, a river passing by, beautiful trees, mountains. And the pamphlet was, "Are you interested in this house?" I said, "I have never seen such a house in this city, but perhaps somebody has made it, and perhaps he is wanting to sell it." So I opened the pamphlet and looked into it. And then I found that if you follow Jesus Christ, then in the coming life, after death, you will have such a house in paradise. I have not been giving any promises to anybody. I have not been going after anybody. Millions of people, those who have come to me, have come on their own. And now you can see yourself, those who have come, have a certain richness of some kind or other. It is not only the money. I have around me people of all talents, people of different genius. Somehow my very approach prevents those people coming close to me who will not be benefited. Even if they come accidentally, they disappear. They don't stay. They don't become part of my world. They don't share with me the vision. Nobody is sorting out who are the rich and who are the poor, and the poor should be returned and the rich should be retained. No scrutiny is going on. But by some existential arrangement, I can attract only those people who are very talented, immensely intelligent, very rich in some quality of life. Only from that angle of richness they will have a connection with me. And the yellow journalist go on saying sensational things to people, meaningless, false, ugly, because I am not a guru. If I have to define it, I will say, I am only a friend of all those who have talents, intelligence, and some urge for spiritual growth. To me, they are the rich people.
You are also what you presently think of life.
The definition which calls me a sex guru is not only false, it is absurd. To put it right, I am the only person in the whole world who is anti-sex. But that needs tremendous understanding. You cannot hope that understanding from journalists. I have been talking about sex so that it can be transformed. All the religious teachers can be called sex gurus except me, because they are teaching repression of sex, which keeps a man continuously sexual. He will be never transformed. He will never go beyond sex. Repression is the way to keep you attached, whatever you have repressed. I have been teaching expression so that you are getting rid of it by expression. suppressing it. You are not holding it back inside your unconscious. And the more you express your sexuality with no guilt, with no sin, because it is not a sin, it is simple natural instinct, soon you become aware that there is nothing in it. Many people become aware that there is nothing in it. Except a headache in the next morning. But they go on doing it like a robot, because in life there is nothing else to do. Our lives are so poor. There is not much to do in it. You will be surprised to know that a great painter, while he is in the mood of painting, completely forgets sex. For weeks, for months, a great poet completely forgets sex when he is creating poetry. What happens? It is the experience of all creative people that whenever they are creating something, sex becomes absolutely unimportant. Perhaps it is the same energy that they are using in creation, and they don't have any more left. And the creativeness is so fulfilling that they don't want to waste it and have a hangover the other day. Their creativity is not taking away their energy, but in a certain way rejuvenating them. A painter is more younger when he is painting. A poet is more younger when he is composing poetry. A musician, if he stops music, immediately becomes old. Something in him, it stops growing. And all these people had not shown the same interest in sex as your saints show. If you read your religious scriptures, you will be surprised. They are full of sexuality. Even the saints who are condemning sex are condemning it with such enjoyment that you can feel it, that it is not condemnation. They are enjoying every minute detail. They are describing with great relish. I have heard about a woman who came to the Catholic priest to confess, and she confessed her sin that she has been raped by a man. But the priest said, this is the third time. It seems a little strange that the same man again and again rapes you. The woman said, you don't understand. It is not the third time. I am talking about the first time. But the priest said, you have confessed it 3 weeks before. She said, yes, but to confess it, I enjoy it so much. To go into the very details of it. And I cannot say it to anybody else except you. So please forgive me. But let me come every Sunday. She is coming to confess his sin. But she is really enjoying it. In your religious scriptures, you will be surprised to find sex is condemned with such joy. You can see it through the words. That the people's mind who were writing those scriptures were full of repression. You won't find a single statement like that in a poet's diary, or a painter's diary, or a sculptor's letter. You will not find any reference even. What I am trying to point is that my whole effort with my sannyasins is to make you aware that sex is a simple natural phenomenon. Live it, and live it totally. So that you can transcend it. But my goal is transcendence. And my sannyasins can give you the proof of it. That as they have become more deeply involved into meditation, they feel less and less interested in sex. In fact, many women sannyasins have complained to me that the male sannyasins are very escapist. They find excuses and escape. In the ordinary world, you will find just the opposite. The woman tries in every way to escape. She was perfectly okay as the husband comes home. She is lying down on the bed with a headache. The husband tries to persuade her, but she is no more interested. She goes on saying, "Not today." Amongst my sannyasins, the experience is just the opposite. It is the man who is lying with the headache and the woman is trying to persuade him, and he says, "Not today. Don't bother me. I'm meditating." What has happened? Because the male is the active sex. He naturally pursues the woman. The woman is the inactive sex. It is beautiful that she tries to run away with the idea that she will be caught. She runs not so fast. She goes on looking back whether the person is coming or not. And finally she gets caught, but she gives the impression that she is not interested. That is her inactive sex. And it gives a certain beauty to her, a certain grace. Man seems to be more animalistic, more aggressive. But sannyasins are going through a transformation. And naturally the first transformation will come to the active sex. Because his action will disappear, his aggression will disappear, and you can see it. And the woman will be at a loss in the beginning, that nobody is pursuing her, persuading her. She may feel offended. She need not feel offended. She has to understand a simple phenomenon. The aggression has disappeared because of meditation. Her own expectation will also disappear, which will take a little longer time. Anything positive disappears very easily. Anything negative is deeper. It takes a little longer time. It has happened with few women sannyasins too, that they are no more interested in sex. It has simply fallen away. I am the most anti-sex person in the world. But it is such an insane world that nobody wants to understand the whole thing. Why I am supporting sex, why I am saying be expressive and live it and be finished with it. Sooner you do it, the better. So you have a transcendental life, at least for few years, which can be devoted totally to meditation. The description is absolutely absurd, calling me a sex guru. But the journalists go on supplying to people what people want, sensationalism. They make things, invent things, just today I was told that one Greek newspaper has published a really great fiction about me. It says that I am hiding from America. The American government is after me to catch me and to bring me back to America. For crimes like manslaughter, sex orgies, arson, America has banned me to come into the country for 5 years, and the paper is saying that I am hiding here and there from America. And their police is searching me. And this is not a way of hiding. Giving television interviews every day, newspaper interviews every day. But people will read these things and people believe these things. And now so much is written about all over the world in different languages that I never come to know what is being written about. Just I was in Nepal. One Korean woman came and told me that hundreds of my books are translated in Korea, and in thousands of bookstalls they are available, and I don't know anything about. This may be happening in other countries also, in other languages also. Now, whether the translation is correct or incorrect, or whether the man is putting his own mind in the translation, inserting his own ideas, but I will be responsible for all of them. There are at least 400 books on my name, and there is only one book about sex. Only that book is talked about. 399 books, nobody cares. And those 399 ones are the best. The book on sex is just preparing a ground so that you can understand other books and go higher, dropping small problems, reaching to heights of human consciousness, but nobody talks about them.
You please help protect yourself, Lord. Can you please your mind, make you sick, or you can save your system?
First, I don't have a mind. Second, I have disappeared many, many years ago. There is nobody to commit mistake. Thirdly, I am a very consistent man. At least about one thing, about inconsistency. But if you look at my inconsistencies, not with a closed mind, but with an open mind, you will be surprised that they only appear inconsistent. Deep down, there is a hidden current running through all of them, joining them into one whole. But for that, great intelligence is needed, and great patience is needed, and great love is needed. Okay.